Do you know the true meaning of Christmas? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
What is Christmas all about? What is the true meaning of Christmas? Well, I contend that the true meaning of Christmas is one prophecy, one Old Testament prophecy, one verse, one name, the name Emmanuel. And the name Emmanuel, we don't have to wonder what that means. The name Emmanuel, the definition is given to us, Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. But many of us don't see the deeper meaning. What does it mean that God is with us? What does it mean at Christmas time that God came to be with us?
You're listening to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve today. Thank you for joining us. Today, we'll learn the meaning of Emmanuel, the third message in Pastor Jeff's series, The Dividing Line, A Baby Changes Everything. Now, Emmanuel truly does mean God with us. But what are the deeper implications of that name for your everyday living, practically speaking? In today's Hopeville lesson, Pastor Jeff shares the wonderful truth that is revealed to us in the name Emmanuel, and you'll be blessed by these insights. Now, with Christmas only a matter of days away, this lesson will help you focus on the power of God's name and the miracle of the manger that is eternal and personal to each one of us. If you can now, open your Bible to the book of Matthew, chapter 1, as we begin to learn the deeper meaning of Emmanuel.
Matthew chapter 1, I'll begin reading in verse 18. The scripture says this, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. Surely she had to be immoral, because how does one get pregnant?" It says in verse 20, "But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins.' Now all this took place that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which translated means God with us. And Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took her as his wife and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." In the Christmas classic, the children's Christmas classic movie, A Charlie Brown Christmas, Charlie Brown is asking and seeking for the true meaning of Christmas. What is Christmas all about? I contend that the true meaning of Christmas is one prophecy, one Old Testament prophecy, one verse, one name, the name Emmanuel. And the name Emmanuel, we don't have to wonder what that means. The name Emmanuel, the definition is given to us, Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. But many of us don't see the deeper meaning. What does it mean that God is with us? What does it mean at Christmas time that God came to be with us? There's an old saying, you can't see the forest for the trees. Lots of times in Scripture, we can get really close to things and you miss the big picture. You miss the full meaning of what this Scripture is saying. And what does it mean that God is with us. That's what I want to focus on today. You know, the Bible was written so many years ago. New Testament was written in the first century, 1900 years ago. The Old Testament, starting from the time of Moses, Moses lived in the 1500s BC. So the Old Testament is 3,500 years old. The New Testament is roughly 1900, 2,000 years old. And people have mocked the Bible and said, oh, the Bible is just an old book. You guys read an old book. You study an old book. You preach an old book. You teach an old book. You need to get with the program because things have changed since the Bible was penned. Here's the thing about the Bible. It is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. God's book is not old and passé. God's book is as fresh as this morning's newspaper because it's alive. You read other books, but the Bible reads you. It's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Listen, you remember this. As you sit here today, as you watch online, on television today, God knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly who you are. He knows exactly what's going on in your life. He knows exactly what you need. And He wants to meet your needs. It's not an accident that you're hearing this message today. God has something special from His word that He wants to share with you. The deeper meaning of Emmanuel. So I want to share today about three wonderful discoveries from the name Emmanuel. What does the name really mean for us? We know what the scripture says and we know what it meant to Joseph. What does it mean for us today? Discovery number one, the name Emmanuel means God has addressed our greatest fear. It means that God has addressed our greatest fear. Fear. Now, fear is something that all of us deal with. And many of us share the same fears, but there are lots of different fears. And sometimes a fear can really kick into overdrive and it becomes a phobia. And there are lots of fears like that where you're just deathly afraid of things. Some of us have acrophobia. That is the fear of heights. Anybody have the fear of heights? Yeah, I have that one. I don't like heights. Some of us have ophidiophobia. Ophidiophobia is the fear of snakes. Anybody have a fear of snakes? Lots of you have ophidiophobia. Many of us have arachnophobia. That's the fear of spiders. Many of us know what that means because we saw the movie. And so we have arachnophobia. I've kind of have all these so far. claustrophobia. That's the fear of being in an enclosed space. How about this one? Atychophobia. Lots of people have atychophobia, even though they don't know they had atychophobia. It is the fear of failure. The fear of failure. But now I think the greatest fear, and Emmanuel means God came to address our greatest fear. I don't think the greatest fear is fear of failure, fear of heights, fear of snakes. The greatest fear is called isolophobia. It's the fear of being alone. That is man's greatest fear, to be alone. You know, there have been some studies done on what happens to the human body when a human is in isolation, away from all other people. And the studies show that it has a detrimental effect on the human body, higher blood pressure, vulnerable to infection, more likely to get dementia and Alzheimer's when you are isolated. There was a lady, or is a lady, she's still alive to my knowledge, an American journalist. Her name is Sarah Shord. She was arrested in Iran and accused and convicted of being a spy. And she was put into solitary confinement for 416 days. She said, I began to hallucinate. I began to hear voices. I began to see things. She said, I almost lost my mind. I was isolated and alone. Hey, Emmanuel means God is with us. And God is with us. That speaks to our greatest fear, the fear of being alone. Now, we talk about hell. And we say, what does the Bible say about this terrible, horrible place called hell? Why is hell such a terrible, horrible place? Is it because of the flames? That makes it a terrible place, but that doesn't make it the worst place. Not just the flames, not just the regrets, not just the anger. There's weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth in hell. What makes hell so awful? You're alone. You said no to God. I don't want you in my life. Leave me alone. And what happens? God says, all right, not my will, but yours be done. And you are separated from him forever and ever and ever. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 speaks of those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord comes back, it says, and these will pay the penalty of eternal destruction. What is that? Away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Forever and ever and ever alone, away from God and all others. Well, God doesn't want that. And so the Lord came, this one called Jesus, he came, and he is the fulfillment of Isaiah 7:14. You know, Isaiah 7:14, that was a prophecy given to King Ahaz. King Ahaz was king in Jerusalem, king of the nation of Judah. And he had two nations coming against him. Israel, the northern kingdom, they had aligned with Aram, the Arameans, and they were coming together as a coalition to destroy Jerusalem. And he was very afraid. The Bible says they were shaking like a tree in the wind. And the Lord sent Isaiah the prophet, and Isaiah the prophet came to Ahaz and says, you don't need to fear these two kings who are coming together to destroy you. He said, ask for a sign. And Ahaz says, well, I'm not going to ask for a sign. And Isaiah said, you're trying the patience of God. Listen, you're not asking for a sign. Well, God is going to give you a sign. Behold, a virgin, a woman in your kingdom, a mature woman of childbearing age who is a virgin right now, she is going to bear a son. She is going to get married. She is going to get pregnant. She is going to have a son. Her son's going to be named Emmanuel. And before that kid is old enough to know the difference between good or bad, those two kings that you fear, they're going to be gone. You don't need to fear anymore. That was the immediate fulfillment of Isaiah 7:14. But that prophecy also had a fulfillment 730 years later when Jesus came. And Matthew says this is the greater fulfillment of Isaiah 7:14, the virgin, not in Ahaz's kingdom, but the virgin Mary. She's going to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit, and she's going to have a son, and they're going to call his name Emmanuel. They never called Jesus Emmanuel. Jesus wasn't called Emmanuel like that was his nickname. Well, we call him Jesus. Sometimes we call him Manuel. If you get real close to him, you can call him Manny. You know, they didn't do that. He's not called Emmanuel like that's his name. That's a title. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us, and he's God with us to address our greatest fear, and that is the fear of being alone. God is with us in the person of Jesus. Now, Joseph, he's engaged to Mary. They're not married yet. They're just engaged. And an engagement different from today where you get engaged and you can break up. If you got engaged, you had to divorce. If you were not going to follow through on the marriage, you had to get divorced. Now, he had never been with Mary, never had touched Mary in a physical way, in a sexual way. But Mary comes up and she says, Joseph, I'm pregnant. I'm with child. But it's not what you think. It's of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph loved Mary and wanted to believe Mary. But how do you believe that story? How could you possibly believe that? And he couldn't believe it. He just said, I want to believe it. I can't believe it. And I can't marry you. I'm a righteous person. I can't marry you because you've been unfaithful in our betrothal period. So I'm going to have to put you away. I don't want to disgrace you publicly. I don't want to bring you up in front of the whole town and say, this is Hester Prynne. Put a big scarlet A on her chest. I don't want to do that. So I'm going to put you away secretly. And that's when the Lord sent the angel in Joseph's dream to say, no. This child is from the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus, God with us. He is the Son of Mary and the Son of God. He is the God-man. Son of Mary, so he's human. Son of God, so he's divine. And the scripture says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, for in him, in Jesus, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. You'll call his name Emmanuel. He will be Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. I told you before a story. I heard it years and years ago. It was a story about two guys who had a Bible study, college guys, had a Bible study in their dormitory. And they just opened it up. Anybody in the dorm could come and they would teach this Bible study and people would come and they had some foreign exchange students that were there and they would come and people that hadn't been exposed to the Bible before, they were coming. And these guys were doing a good job teaching the Bible study. And one day on a Saturday morning, if I remember correctly, they had this Chinese guy come to their dorm room early on a Saturday morning when most college students are asleep. He came and he knocked on the door. And he woke them up and they're like, yeah, what is it? What do you want? He said, hey, I've been coming to the Bible study that you guys do. And he goes, it got me to start reading the Bible. And he said, I was reading the Bible today and I came to the verse in Matthew, the last verse in Matthew, and I read these words, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And I had to come tell you about it. And the guys are like, yeah, that's really good. That's a great verse. Last verse of Matthew is really a great verse. He said, no, I read this. And it said, and lo, I'm with you always, even till the end of the age. And they said, yeah, that's a wonderful promise, a great verse. He said, no, you're not getting it. And I read, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And they said, yes, we know, we get it. He said, no, you don't get it. My name is Lo. Now, if you're reading the Bible and you've never read it before, and you run across your name and the words, and Jeff, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, and Frank, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, and Mary, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, and Carol Ann, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. Wow! That just blows you away. That's different than it just saying, and lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Hey, you put your name in there. Emmanuel means God has come in the person of Jesus to be with us always. And that means that he's going to be with us in the most difficult times that we'll ever face in life. The Lord says in Isaiah 43, verse 2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Psalm 23, one of the most famous psalms in all of the Bible, where David said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that is the worst that you can possibly go through, the valley of the shadow of death. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. My God is with me. I'm reminded of Darlene Dibler. Such a great testimony. She was a missionary in Indonesia when World War II broke out. She was arrested, taken over by the Japanese, and put in a concentration camp. And from the concentration camp, she too was accused of being a spy, just like that lady in Iran. And so they took her from the concentration camp and they put her in a prison camp. And they put her on death row. And every day she said, they beat me and interrogated me and interrogated me and beat me. She said, I never cried once before my captors. But she said, when I got back to my cell, I cried buckets of tears. And she shares her whole testimony, such a powerful testimony. At the end of her testimony, she says this. She said, brothers and sisters, don't feel bad for me, for what happened to me. She said, because although those times in that prison cell were the worst times of my life, they were the sweetest times of my life because God was so near to me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because you are with me. Hebrews chapter 13, the Lord says this, let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. That's what he has said, so that we may confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me? The Lord has said, I will never leave you. In the Greek construction of Hebrews 13:5, five negatives. The Lord says this, I will not, never, never desert you. I will not, never forsake you. Well, that's bad English, but it's great theology. And God is saying in such strong terms, you can trust me. I will be with you and I will not fail you and I will not forsake you. So Emmanuel means God with us, but what does that mean? What's the deeper meaning? What does that say to us today? That says that God has addressed our greatest fear, the fear of being alone. Second discovery, Emmanuel means that God has addressed not only our greatest fear, but our greatest need. Our greatest need.
You're listening to a message called The Meaning of Emmanuel, from Pastor Jeff Shreve's three-message series, The Dividing Line, A Baby Changes Everything, a timely lesson for this upcoming Christmas. You know, when it comes to human history, we mark years and time with the terms B.C. and A.D. That is divided by the coming of the one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. The baby born into the world changed everything for everyone forever. But what about you, personally? Has his coming directly changed you? Today we've been listening to part one of a lesson called The Meaning of Emmanuel. It's from Pastor Jeff's series, The Dividing Line, A Baby Changes Everything. And it's available in multiple formats when you go online to fromhisheart.org. Would you like next year to be better for you? Would you like to experience joy and peace abundantly? Well, then Pastor Jeff Shreve suggests that you embark on a 365-day journey that will change your perspective and empower you to overcome life's challenges with joy and peace. And we all know that the world could use a lot more peace these days. How do you do that? By committing to a daily devotional that'll draw you closer to Jesus and calm your heart. Pastor Jeff and 51 other pastors and church leaders created a beautiful keepsake book with an inspiring devotional and prayer for each day of next year. It's called the Everyday Joy and Peace Devotional Book, and it has a beautiful, soft, faux leather cover that you'll enjoy for years to come. It's our gift of thanks to you for your support to From His Heart this month of any amount. Now, this month is our calendar year end, and it's a very important time of year for us when this month we would normally receive about a quarter of our entire yearly budget. We want to even expand more into next year to bring joy and peace to more people in your hometown and around the world. To say thank you for your gift, we'll send you a copy of Everyday Joy and Peace. So would you pray about what God would have you to help this ministry expand next year? To get yours, you can make your gift when you call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org. where you can see how beautiful this inspiring book is. Again, call 866-40-BIBLE or go to fromhisheart.org. And God bless you for supporting this important work for the kingdom. Thank you for joining us today on From His Heart. I'm Larry Nobles, inviting you to be here tomorrow for part two of this timely lesson, The Meaning of Emmanuel. Join us on Thursday when we'll again open God's Word and share real truth, love, and hope from His heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more at fromhisheart.org. www.thepastorjeffshreve.org.